This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What advice would you give Lamar Jackson right now? Ndamukong Suh.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Having been in his shoes and done my own deals, stay firm.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Find a way, if you want to be with the Ravens, to where it's a win-win situation.
Today's guests. NBA insider for The Athletic and Stadium, Sham Sharania. MLB Network analyst, Kevin Millar. Three-time Emmy Award-winning actor and comedian, Ray Romano. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Later on in this hour, I've got a top five list of the teams that should be trading up in the NFL draft for the third overall pick. Our buddy Adam Schefter saying six teams have contacted the Arizona Cardinals. I have just a top five. There may be, I'm sniffing one more. There could be, I might have one more.
Oh.
Don't worry, Einstein is not one of the players.
They put that to bed.
How can I put it to bed when Verizon won't stop running the commercials with Paul Giamatti as Einstein?
I'm not sure.
And there was even a Jeopardy clue
based on it.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. We're on this program for an hour now, and it was about an hour ago that we learned that this show was nominated for Best Studio Show Daily. How about them apples?
Daily.
Second year in a row. We've been doing this every single day. We've been cultivating this caper between 12 and 3 Eastern for quite some time. And our new partner, the Roku Channel, we're thrilled that they're coming along for the Emmy, Sports Emmy ride. So to all the executives who've been so kind to us, guess what? You're coming with us, and you get to sit there for 3.5 hours.
They're like, you know what? Maybe we should just
put this up first. Can I make a request? Can I call them up and say, just let's do it first.
Do it backwards?
Yeah, and then I'll send you guys all to the bar, wherever we're going to set up shop. And then I'll stick around for 3.5 hours just to lose to Tirico, and then I'll join you.
Stop. We're in this together.
All right.
But we are bringing flasks.
Excellent.
Or kegs or whatever.
Kegs. You want to tap one, Mike?
Yeah,
you know the people in Jersey who can bring it?
Out drinks.
We're already working on our escape plan.
Ray Romano, speaking of Emmy Awards, is in studio, hour number three, a beautiful new movie that he's written and directed and produced, and he's starring in along with Laurie Metcalf, Sebastian Maniscalco. He's so good, man.
So
Tony LoBianco, old school. It's called Somewhere in Queens. It's available in theaters coming up on Friday, April 21st. He's in studio, hour number three. But joining us right now on the phone line, in advance of the second annual Invited Celebrity Classic, nationally televised PGA Tour Champions competition, 78 PGA Tour champions, and 40 sports and entertainment stars that's taking place in Las Colinas. You might know that, TJ, because it's in Irving, Texas, where Texas Stadium used to reside. It's live on the Golf Channel all 3 days of that competition. And in the field, MLB Network analyst, World Series champion Kevin Millar back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Kevin?
Ricky, I'm doing good, buddy. Just trying to really pray about my putting. I'm tired of the 34 to 38 putts around, so... Mm-hmm. I don't know what that number is, but can you guys say a prayer right now? Lord, I apologize for Kevin's putting. Now we can continue.
Does it matter? I'm seeing Romo and Greg Maddux in the field. You're toast, brother. You're just there as set dressing.
Maddux,
come on.
Maddux, I was toast with the 85-mile-an-hour backdoor sinker ground ball to second base, three straight double plays in baseball. I could take him in golf.
Oh.
Romo, I'm toast. Smoltz, I'm toast.
Oh, God.
Marty Fish, I'm toast.
That's right.
That's the guys I'm toast. I don't have 8 birdies in my bag.
You're
when
there.
Marty Fish did that in Tahoe.
Kevin, you're there for entertainment, for the fans who are going to be there behind the ropes. You're the one to take selfies with. You're the one to entertain them. That's what you're there for, do that. I mean, again, I don't mean to denigrate your golf game, but, I mean, if you're worried about,
no, you're
34 putts versus 30 putts, forget it. Forget it. You know, just don't worry about it.
I've been the clubhouse guy my whole life. Right? I wasn't that good of a ball player, so I was just David and Manny and Chillings and Pedro's teammate.
Yeah.
So I'll take that role onto my golf career.
Yeah, here's what you see, you're there to keep everyone loose and maybe drive in a run or two, pick your spots, Kevin. You know that.
Full power. 2031. Only thing I can ambush is full power. I can't go to right center.
What was it like seriously stepping in a batter's box against Maddux? What was that like? back in the day? Matt?
Well, one, you got to get off the 27 inseam stirrups with the 2-in-1 stirrups, and his pants didn't go all the way down. Belt buckle was a little bit crooked. He had the nerdy look with the glove up, but it was magnificent how he could repeat his delivery and win 350 games in the big leagues and throw down away fastball for a strike every time. And then as soon as he got 3 inches off, then he'd go 6 inches off. And then, you know what, as the Florida Marlins, and we're in last place, Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz were dealing with that strike zone. This day and age, I would love to see him try to bring that stuff on the plate.
And how many guys, you don't see many glasses-wearing individuals in Major League Baseball anymore. I don't know if it's the LASIK world, but he used to do that. I think he did that to troll on people. You know what I mean?
I think he did, too. Because when you meet Greg now and you're around him, he's funny, he's hilarious. He's kind of exactly what you would think.
Yeah.
You know, just a little dirty, a little funny, a little awesomeness. And it's Greg Maddux. He's so cool sometimes he doesn't even know he's Greg Maddux. And you know those kind of athletes are fun to be around. Nobody likes an ego, right, Richie?
No. Kevin Millar here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Rich, yeah. We didn't say that to him. No, you're great.
No, it's all good. I didn't take anything personal. I called you a clubhouse guy moments ago, and you didn't take that personally either. We're cool. We haven't spoken in a while. I get it. And you get me. We get each other. It's all good. You don't have to apologize. We're one of those guys that just talk to each other and having not spoken to each other in a while, and we're cool. We just slip right back into it. The AL East is over, right? It's done? It's finished? We're finished?
Tampa Bay, they've taken it. That's 10 in a row. It's the first time since 1987. We've got the Milwaukee Brewers with Rob Deere, hit 28 home runs that year.
Struck
out probably a few times. Dale Swain, my old third base coach with the Boston Red Sox, homered in that game, Robin Yount. So it's pretty amazing. Doesn't Paul Molitor hit about 350 in 1987? Now you look at the Rays. Why don't we give them credit? Every year they win 90-plus games. They're a pain in the you-know-what.
Yep.
Is it because we don't have the $350 million player to kind of lift up and make him the face of baseball? Or I don't know why, but we don't give them any credit, and they are awesome.
Well, Franco could be that guy, maybe. You know, I mean, or he's on a path to do that. He's got that sort of talent, one would think. I mean, the shortstop, Wander, you know, it's entirely possible. Yeah. I don't know. They've got the pitching. I don't know. I think it's what it is if you play in a stadium where the ground rules are associated with the different concentric circles that hang from your ceiling, and that might be it too. Could be that. Dick Vitale, the whole thing. I don't know. Blame it on Vitale. I don't know, but they'll just beat you in ways that you don't see coming. I mean, the Indians. Damn it, the Guardians are like that too. They're like the kings of the bloops and blasts and without the blasts. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It could just be that they're in a division with the Red Sox and Yankees. I don't know.
Shane McCallahan. He was the starting pitcher for the All-Star game last year, right?
Yeah, he goes today.
Baker, I don't think you ever saw him pitch. He didn't even know who he was. That's what the Rays are about. They draft well. It goes back to David Price and Evan Longoria and James Shields. They help at the big league level. You can't miss on your first-round draft picks. And it's so funny how organizations – the scouts are the most underrated aspect of fielding an organization, right? Because we have reports. Rich Eisen's got a good fastball. His curveball might be average. He throws it in 2-1 hitters count.
Yes.
Whatever it is, that's reports from scouts that are advanced scouts. And now the draft. Too many teams miss on that aspect of it and then just want to go out and buy free agents and buy the best players after 10 years in. And now all the teams like the Rays lose these guys to the Oakland A's and all these small market teams, but they figure out a system. And whether you like it or not, whether big league players like it or not, you don't want to see them in the postseason because why? Owners are looking around going, why are we spending $350 million a year? And I'm looking at the Rays salary at close to 75 to 100, right? So then you're like, what are they doing? What are they doing right? And then you go, you know, like the Red Sox, Chaim Bloom. You get anybody? Freeman from the Dodgers. Anybody that's with the Rays organization, it seems like they're just a tick smarter, or we perceive that they're a tick smarter than everybody else.
Kevin Millar here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you think of the Angels' chances to finally put Ohtani in the playoffs? I mean, that World Baseball Classic showdown with Ohtani and Trout just reminded everybody, boy, it would be great to see These two on the same team, obviously, in the playoffs. But this is also a time where if the Angels don't get it done in the first half of the season, you'd have to start thinking a lot of teams are going to be throwing themselves at the Angels for Ohtani in advance of his free agent year. What do you got for me on that, Kevin?
Yeah, I love Phil Nevin getting his first full year to be a manager.
Yeah.
I think he has been and paid his dues. I think he has been awesome for this club. I think the Rendon and the offense is going to hit. He's going to be back healthy, and the Trout and the Ohtani, okay, all of that. How are we going to close and get nine outs at the end of the game? How are we going to compete against the mighty Astros, who are almost like the Dodgers in the West that have just dominated that division? Because once again, they draft well. Jim Crane's got his finger on that team. He played baseball. He loves baseball. Dusty Baker couldn't have been any more perfect to bring in after the whole 17 stuff. And you know what? They just keep plugging away. So now the Angels, do they compete this year? Do the Rangers compete with Bochy? I love Nevin and Boch managing. They're baseball dudes. Give me the information, but at the end of the day, give me some gut feeling too. This game's about gut, not always about what's on paper. And last night, I'll give you a quick example. Padres, Mets are playing. Nelson Cruz is on the bench, okay, against Max Scherzer because we have Matt Carpenter starting as the DH. Now, Nelson Cruz's numbers against Max Scherzer were 400 and 440, whatever it was. And then I guess they asked him, why isn't, you know, Matt, or why isn't Nelly Cruz playing? Well, numbers don't matter. Well, what's that mean now? Because we're in a world that it matters, right? That seems like we get handed numbers and information on anything. Launch factor, launch angle, it used to be called an uppercut. And so it's only like we're going to use the numbers when they work in my favor. But sometimes we're not going to use numbers. So that stuff doesn't make sense to me. What makes sense is the Angels, I think, with Nevin and Boch and bringing back some of these old school, Buck Showalter, you got some gut feeling in this game, and I think the Angels can compete this year, especially with the Altuve injury with the Astros, even though they're a darn good team, and Framber Valdez, probably the most underrated pitcher in the big leagues, you don't even talk about.
Best team in the NL is? Which one? Who'd you take? Who'd you put your Millar money on?
I like
on?
The Braves.
You do?
If you were to say, like, right now, without getting all into the numbers and all that,
yeah.
I think the Braves are a good ball club. They're signed long-term. I think Anthopoulos has done a great job over there in Atlanta. And I think they pitch. They have enough stuff. But, I mean, I'm not going to discount the Dodgers. I mean, Dustin May being back and Urias. I mean, my goodness gracious and what they've done. But, you know, they're going to have to overcome some stuff, and that's typical. But right now I'd say the Braves.
Okay. So walk me through your preparation for this golf tournament. Seriously, you're just talking about your putts. I mean, but what do you got for me? Kevin,
I'm going to tell you right now, Mike Milthorpe, who's ran these tournaments for 35-plus years.
Yes.
I was in Steamboat with him a couple weeks ago. I sat down, and Mike's a one handicap this day. I said, Mike, what can I do to get better? And he says, Kevin, put 20 minutes, 30 minutes, two times a week. Make that a practice session.
Yes.
I never do that. We get to the golf course, Rich, right? We want to know what the bet is. Let's play some hammer. Let's play 666, you know, where everybody's a teammate for six holes. You just want to play and know what the bet is. Go practice 30 minutes a day, two times a week. So I've been doing that. I can drive the golf ball pretty much down in the good grass. Now I got to figure out how to get the ball in the hole. And sometimes Smoltz told me, John Smoltz made one tip to me. And I'm going to tell you guys this. He said, Kevin, let me see that stroke again. Oh, yeah, I know the problem. He grabbed my golf ball and he goes, you need to change balls. Your balls are afraid of the dark. I said, John, that wasn't very nice. That was a little bullshit.
I was about to say, Kevin, that I wouldn't trust Smoltz to give you a tip. I wouldn't trust Smoltz in a million years to give you a golf tip. He is so cutthroat. I mean,
he really is.
He's in Cooperstown for a reason, for many reasons. But
he lost his hair at a young age, Richie, as we have. Uh-huh. And I think that since then, at 19 to 23, when he started going with the convertible flat top, which we just pulled down that hair, give him strength and courage. But, yeah, it was one of the funniest lines ever. He goes, I got it. Your balls scare the dark.
They're afraid of the dark. It won't go in the hole. I get it. I totally understand it. I wouldn't trust him in a million years, brother. Las Colinas Country Club in Irving, Texas, live on the Golf Channel, April 21 through 23. Proceeds will benefit the Momentous Institute. It's a North Texas nonprofit dedicated to helping children in need, which is great. Let's do this more often. I'd love to catch up with you as the season begins to heat up. By the way, I have not heard the name Rob Deer in forever. I once watched Rob Deer strike out against Doc Gooden in Shea Stadium so many times they were looking for medals more precious than gold to call the sombrero he was wearing that night. I mean, was it platinum or adamantium sombrero? I think he's – honestly, he didn't touch a baseball all. He didn't even foul one off that night in Shea Stadium.
So good.
Against Dwight Gooden.
What is the 0-for-6 with 6Ks? What hat is that?
I don't know. Like, I'd have to Google precious metals. I don't know. There's gold. Yeah. There's platinum. Whatever the hell is next? It's what adamantium? Isn't that what the Wolverine makes of that? His bones are made of that. Yeah, that's what it is. I don't know what it is.
Vibranium. Wakanda Forever is Black Panther.
Black Panther. Yeah. That could be that. It could have been a vibranium sombrero.
Yeah.
I mean,
the LA City Junior College. Now you're going over my head. I like to just.
Now I'm not going over your head. I'm just going pop culture. That's all I'm doing. Take care of yourself, Kevin. Really appreciate
all right,
it.
Yep.
Okay,
appreciate
that's, you, yeah, you got that's Kevin Mala. Kevin Mala. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Great walk in MLB playoff history.
Oh, my God. You Red Sox fans, just remember in 2004, greatest walk, and then Dave Roberts stole the base, blah, 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 blah. I get it. That happened.
Everyone in the world knew that he was stealing.
Oh, my God.
His lead was bigger than a Cadillac.
What's more
annoying? And you still didn't throw him out.
I don't know what's more annoying.
Jorge Posada's noodle arm just couldn't get it there.
That would have been a great
Jorge Posada's noodle arm.
Baseball fantasy team name if it wasn't so offensive to me. Posada's noodle arm. You know what? I don't know why does it annoy me? This is so old. It's like 19 years old now.
You mean the greatest collapse in MLB playoff
history? Oh my God, all of this business.
Oh, it's just facts.
You know what also annoys me? This is what annoys me too. That annoys me. The Red Sox stuff annoys me with the Yankees and the Ohio State stuff with Michigan. It really gets my craw and I should just let it go. There was a photograph of Joe Burrow with the two Boses and Sam Hubbard, Burrow's teammate with the Bengals, all at the latest UFC.
In Miami. Yep.
And all the Buckeye fan pages, because I get it sent to me on Twitter and on my text from Breer and money manager of the Stars, Don Weir. There are all these Buckeye honks like, oh, the Buckeyes are hanging together. And I'm like, okay, Joey, I got it.
Yep.
He was there. He drafted very highly. Nick, yep. Your defensive player of the year, your reigning defensive player of the year.
They're brothers.
Check that box. Yeah, they're brothers. They went to Ohio State together. And then there's Sam Hubbard, who, as we all know, came up with the fumble in the jungle this past year.
True, yeah.
I mean, what an incredible moment for the Bengals and a playoff moment. It got it. When you get a nickname in the playoffs,
iconic.
Made in the shade. He went to the Ohio State, and they all made their bones at Ohio State. They all went there. They stayed there. They were drafted from there. One guy is not like the other. He's not. And I'll just say this.
He's not.
And Burrow, I know Burrow talks of his time at the Ohio State affectionately.
Yeah, he loved it.
I know he considers himself part of the Buckeye community. And I know he thanked Ryan Day.
He's from Ohio.
And he's from Athens, Ohio. And he plays his professional football in Ohio. And he is as Buckeye State as through and through as he possibly can. But when it all comes down to it, he had to leave the Buckeye State to get his opportunity that he made the most of. And Buckeye fans just ignore that fact. They just go right over that like a speed bump.
But if he didn't leave, we'd never know who he was.
Correct.
So
Where would he be? Would he have been the first overall pick as the savior of Cincinnati? Probably not.
He might still be in college doing the Stetson
Bennett
thing.
Who knows where he would be? He had to, however, depart the school. And he won his championship and pointed at his ring finger for another school. in a different state. And everybody, when they, these Buckeye fans, you Buckeye fan, I'm talking directly to you. I don't care. I'm double nominated for a second year in a row. I'm feeling my oats today.
As you should.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Get out of here. Get out of here. And don't push back that Brady had to sit behind Drew Henson.
Well, that's a fact.
It's not the same. Brady did not have to leave Michigan.
Well, he stayed till his senior year.
Brady did not leave the school.
He could have.
He went to Michigan. He stayed at Michigan. He was drafted from Michigan.
There's two murals in the locker room.
Correct. How many murals of Burrow are there going to be in the Ohio State locker room?
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Because you know why? Because he didn't graduate from there. He didn't win his national championship there. He didn't become the first overall pick there. And he may look at this, or this somehow does filter to him, and say, who the hell are you, Michigan guy, to talk about it? And all I have to say is, Joe, I love you. I love you. There's the photograph. There it is. It was put out by Nick Bosa. It's great. I love that they're friends. I love that they all have an Ohio State connection. But one is not like the other. And everybody goes over it like a speed bump. Like they forget that he was shown the door at the Ohio State. That's forevermore. No matter how many championships Burrow wins, and he has the stuff to win it. He has the stuff to win it. He is one of the greats. He is about to break the bank. He is all that plus the biscuit. But what he is not is somebody who stayed at Ohio State his whole career. And I feel better saying that, even though it's really petty. I don't know where it is on the Rich Eisen Show petty scale.
It might be Lori.
Lori, yeah. A little lower.
Again, Bryce is, you know, the lowest level of petty.
So we put it Lori.
It goes what? It goes Bryce from lowest to highest. Bryce, Lori.
Lori. Yeah, yeah. Kyle.
Kyle.
Tom.
Tom.
Richard. The
Richard.
King.
The King. Mr. The King.
So you put it to Lori, right?
I think it's Lori.
Because it's none of my business. It really is
I don't
not
know
my
why
business.
It bothers you at all.
Because it bothers me because it all. Makes them happy. It makes them happy.
But you
and
know
they
the
want
truth.
To claim him because they know it's the only way they could get in the same room adjacent to the universe of Tom Brady. It's their path to try and get Brady and his seven rings off the Michigan table.
I don't understand.
It's yes, you do understand. You're just saying you don't understand it.
But it because Ohio State quarterbacks aren't good in the NFL? Is that what we're getting at?
No. I think Stroud is going to be the first overall pick and should be absolutely touted by Ohio State as proof that they are a terrific quarterback school, which they are. And they should sit here and go, yeah, Ohio State has a first overall selected quarterback. Good. And they should feel great about it. And I, just as much as I feel great about being able to say to them, you didn't beat Michigan.
Like, so it feels,
oh, if the, that if, feels great.
Hold on. If
now
feels,
that's, hold on a second. Hold on. That's Tom Petty.
That's super high.
That's Tom Petty. That's, I don't know about Richard.
So if Justin Fields wins a Super Bowl for the Bears, can Georgia fans not be happy for him?
Of course they can. But when it all comes down to it, you can't put him in the same, on the same pedestal as Stetson Bennett.
Right.
Stetson went there.
Right.
He
saying,
stayed there.
But can they be
he was
happy?
Drafted
can
from
they
there.
Be happy?
Of course they can.
They
Buckeye fans can feel happy for him, but not like we're all Buckeye. I can't. I won't. I shan't. I will not.
I think this is a YP.
Admittedly.
Yeah, all right.
Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Phone calls, and also have a top five list. Top five teams that should trade for the third overall pick. Bengals not on that list because LSU's Burrow is so good.
Oh, gosh.
Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
April is National Financial Literacy Month. What is financial literacy? It's applying different skills effectively, including managing your finances, budgeting, and saving. It just so happens the Cumulus Podcast Network has 3 great podcasts to help raise your financial IQ. Stacking Benjamins with Joe Saul-Sehy, Bankrate's 2023 Best Personal Finance Podcast.
What's one of life's biggest expenses that we can maybe talk about reducing?
Housing.
Is housing on the list? Buying a house is the number 2 expense of all these expenses. What's a way that we can reduce our housing expense?
Move from Seattle to Florida.
Wow, spoken like somebody with a little knowledge of that situation.
Afford anything with financial journalist Paula Pant.
You have many financial goals. You want to buy or pay off your house. You need to replace your car. You want to pay for a wedding, send your kids to college, travel the world, and one day retire. But how?
And Webby Award-winning Brown Ambition with Tiffany the Budgetnista Alice and personal finance expert Mandy Woodruff.
When I was crafting my resume in my career, I wasn't thinking about the job I had. I was always thinking, like, what's going to impress the person who has my next opportunity and make them want to have a conversation with me? And yeah, I think people are not thinking that far ahead.
That's why we'd be leaning into you, career coach.
So, as you look to improve your financial literacy, follow Stacking Benjamins, Afford Anything, and Brown Ambition. Wherever you listen.
Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back with the live stream of the Roku channel every single day, 12 to 3 Eastern Time. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. Ray Romano is going to stop by in hour number 3. We got a celebrity true or false with Ray.
Nice.
Very good stuff. You know who he likes? The Jets.
He does.
Yes. So we'll talk with him about that. How do we get on the subject of Joe Burrow? Oh, that's right. You were trolling me about Kevin Millar. Oh, yeah. Greatest walk ever.
You.
Greatest walk ever. That happened 19 years ago.
I was not trolling.
Greatest walk ever.
I just stated a fact.
Greatest walk ever. What does that mean to me?
Worst I'm allowed to be ever. Happy about it. It has nothing to do with you. It's about my happiness.
Do you like it when I'm happy about the Yankees?
No.
Okay, so
I hate the Yankees.
So why do you have a problem with me having a problem with you?
I didn't.
Then why do you have a problem with me?
I didn't reference
pointing out
the Yankees
to Ohio
at all.
State their happiness about owning Joe Burrow, completely ignoring the fact that he had to leave to gain his notoriety or famous
resume. You brought up the Yankees. I am being positive about the walk. By the way, I never said what walk. I just said the walk.
You said greatest walk in history. Oh, you must have meant that one time he walked against Mike Maddux, Greg's brother.
Could have been.
In that series at the Texas Rangers back in May of 97, whenever the hell he played?
You're just doing a certain way because you have to wear that for the rest of your life.
Wear what? This beautiful blue zip-up?
No.
Sweatshirt?
No.
Wear what? See, you keep making my point, which is you don't like it when I'm happy about the team that you hate the most. So why should I just
let it go? But I'm not bringing them
go?
Up. But then
why
you,
should
but
I
then
let
you
it go?
Bring in Ohio State for no reason.
Because I'm pointing out how I have spite for them in the same way they have it for me. And Tom Brady being the greatest player in the history of the NFL coming from Michigan is something that is inviolate. They will never be able to try and chip away at that. And the only way that they do try and chip away at that, and by they, I mean everybody who wears scarlet and gray in Ohio State, because they can't let us at Michigan own Tom Brady despite him being there start to finish. They chip away at that as well. A couple of years. Lloyd Carr sat him for Drew Henson a couple times. I saw him in Syracuse, Tom Brady. He was trading quarters, starting different quarters. Drew Henson was starting different quarters.
I was sitting in the end zone during warmups, and him and Drew Henson jogged by. Nobody paid any attention to Tom Brady. We were booing Drew Henson.
Were we at the same game in the carry on that day?
99, yeah. We were at the same game.
How about that?
Look at us now.
Look at you now. A couple Emmy-nominated guys.
Who would have thought?
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Yeah, Jeff in Detroit. What's up, Jeffrey? How you doing?
What's going on? First of all, let me congratulate you guys moving over to Roku, providing us with this primetime entertainment that runs all day.
Thank you.
I can wake up at 12 o'clock, and if I miss the show, hit the Roku channel and just check out my dog.
Look at Jeff in Detroit.
Here, first of all, I understand Uncle Rich's position with Joe Burrow. Because that sounds like something a Buckeye would do. They would probably go ahead and claim something that they gave away. Oh, yeah, that's us. That's swag like Ohio right there. And I can definitely understand, Gerald Burrow, he's a Buckeye. Speaking of Buckeyes.
Yes, sir.
Here in Detroit, man, we are so happy Jeff Okuda can get a fresh break. Because if you remember, he was kind of left over from those geniuses, Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia. Had they not alienated Darius Slay, who only went on to be a hell of a Pro Bowl cornerback, and we had to use that pick on a cornerback or for our defense for Jeff Okuda, and he just never formed into the player he was supposed to be. So him getting up out of Detroit, good riddance. I'm actually happy for him because hopefully he can stop being a bum now and, do something with his career because he did nothing here.
Well, an excellent case study of what the Lions did wrong, but now they can send Jeff Okuda away for a fifth-round pick and feel like they're just team-building.
Definitely. I have faith in our coach, too. I believe the guy has the eye. He has the city on fire, I tell you that much. We are drinking that blue Kool-Aid by the gallons, baby. Next season, we cannot wait.
Sixth overall selection for the Detroit Lions. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it. Sixth overall selection. What are they going to do?
Right.
They're going to get a really good player. And this is the Matthew Stafford trade. How about that? Seattle trades away Russell Wilson. Detroit trades away Matthew Stafford. Did they ever think in a million years trading away Stafford would net them the sixth overall pick 2 years later? After the Rams win the Super Bowl with Stafford. The Rams win the Super Bowl with Stafford, and they must have they were like, what in the world will our draft choice look like in 2023? Oh, sixth overall. Oh, really? Oh, really? Got it. So, what will they do? And the question is if Levis drops to six and the Raiders are sitting there at seven, who's ringing up their phone? Lions will be like, oh, yeah. Area code 313. That's it.
Open for
business. Unless, I don't know if Allen Park's different. There you go. Open for business.
Well, why wouldn't
it? Can't wait to talk to Dan Campbell about that on Thursday. That's going to be great. That is going to be outstanding. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Mike, I need NFL Films music.
Here we go.
Puts me in the mood. I'm already in a great mood. Puts me in an even better mood. My buddy from the worldwide leader in sports, Adam Schefter, said six teams have called the Arizona Cardinals for the third overall selection. At least six have inquired.
At least.
Fascinating number, by the way. Fascinating number. Six. And this is per league sources. So I've got a top five list of the teams that should be ringing up the Arizona Cardinals for the third overall pick. Number five is the team that said they're cool with their guy they drafted last year to the point where they're not signing Lamar Jackson to an offer sheet. And they just traded a fifth-round pick for Jeff Okuda, the cornerback. And they went on a free agency spending spree. And they went ahead and got themselves Calais Campbell as well. They kind of want to win now when you get Calais Campbell. I get it. And they said they love Desmond Ridder. But I think the Falcons should definitely check on how much it costs to go from 8 to 3. and check on Anthony Richardson instead. And I know that that would essentially turn Desmond Ridder into Josh Rosen. But I think they have to do that. And that's, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, Anthony Richardson is on Atlanta's visit list. So they're thinking the same thing I'm thinking, which is just check it out. Just make the call. Just see what it would cost. Let's check on Richardson just to see if it's worth it. I mean, Arthur Smith is, as you know, a very serious man to the point where he, next owner's meeting for that photograph, is going to have to tell his face to smile. But he also said they talk about everything to try and improve their team. This would be one of them, I think. Number four on this list is a team that said they know how talented this quarterback group is, and they also don't expect to be drafting this high for a good long while, because they don't usually draft this high. And they are, because remarkably, this is what trading Russell Wilson away has netted them in the first year after trading him away. The Seattle Seahawks are on this list, and Pete Carroll himself on this program admitted they're tire kicking the quarterback class.
This is such a rare opportunity. We've been here for 13, 14 years. We've only had one other time when we picked in the top 10. And so now that we see it, and after, you know, kind of in a frustrating fashion, you know, you sit down there in the 20s or lower, and you just don't have a shot at guys like this. So now that we do, it's certainly top of mind, and we're going to really watch how this happens. It's not going to take long, you know. Soon it'll be on us. So, but we'll see what happens, and there's some great choices, and we'll figure it out. But that's definitely in a consideration.
Now the question is do they consider it only if they drop down to him? If Anthony Richardson drops down to 5, or do you like him so much you go get him and you tell Geno, hey, look, you're signed for a couple years here. Richardson's going to take some time. You're the perfect guy to tell him the ropes, show him the ropes. Let's do it. You go try and win a championship with the Prez returning. Don't forget, by the way, Jamal Adams comes back from injury. Bobby Wagner's back. You can go try and win it right now with Geno and have Anthony Richardson in your back pocket. All it's going to cost you is to move up from 5 to 3. Make the call. Number 3 on this list is a team we talked about at the end of the first hour. It's going to take a lot to move up from 11 to 3, but the Titans should make this phone call. And I think they should do it. Go for it. I know Malik Willis didn't work out for you last year. It just really depends how they evaluate this young man. If they think last year he just wasn't ready, and they're not going to be putting themselves in position to trade all the way up to number 3 for another guy who's not ready, because that's the idea about Anthony Richardson, is he's going to take some time. And you do have Tannehill there, but Tannehill didn't last year either, and what a mess that was when Josh Dobbs came in and was better than the kid you drafted. But I say, take those scars and throw them out and make the call to Arizona and go get Anthony Richardson. I think they can do that. And if they do that, maybe they replenish their draft choices by trading away Derrick Henry and telling, and Mike Vrabel's like, yep, this year we're just going to see how we rebuild. And it's Anthony Richardson's run once Tannehill's done. Number 2 on this list, they love Anthony Richardson. This is what I am hearing, and who doesn't? The Las Vegas Raiders are absolutely one of the 6 teams. I think I have named every team that's called, but the Raiders, I mean, Jimmy G's there. He's got 2 years. I know he's got free chicken. I know he's got all that stuff. I know he's got all that stuff in Las Vegas. Sorry, you could turn your mic on to laugh, TJ. It's okay. But they've got to be the one to call. It's not too far to go from 7 to 3. Not too far to go from 7 to 3. And you got Mahomes, and you got Russ, and you got Herbert. You need your own. Anthony Richardson can be your own. And then number 1 on this list, absolutely, they cannot leave this draft without a quarterback in the first round, I believe. They have to take one. Certainly because of the way they've tried to fill in the blank once Andrew Luck left them with a blank when they least expected it. Because the era of Cocoon did not work for the Indianapolis Colts, who are number one on this list. Yep. They've gone Foles. They've gone Rivers. They've gone Matt Ryan. And I appreciate Sean Mitchell choosing this particular photograph of Wilford Brimley.
Wow. He looks so miserable.
Which one? Matt Ryan?
Philip Rivers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because this era of Cocoon must end. And they don't have anybody. They got to get one. And if it's Anthony Richardson they want, move up one spot. Gotta be that team. And if I'm the Cardinals, I am making sure that one spot is expensive, because they'd be turning down a whole bunch of other opportunities to move all the way down. However, the Colts' response is like, you still get whoever you want, because you know we're not trading up for Will Anderson. You still get Will Anderson. You can't if you trade with the Raiders. You can't if you trade with everybody else on this list. Number one on this list are the Colts.
Do you think we need one more? All right, we'll get one
All
more.
All right, we'll get one more. It's your team.
Yes.
It's your team. I don't think they have it in them.
No.
I don't think the
of
Patriots have
not.
It in them.
They lack the fortitude? Is that
I just don't think the Patriots have it in.
We don't trade up in the draft. We trade down.
But we're like, what's the future here? I mean, mortgage it. If you're Bill, mortgage it.
Thank you, Rich.
Mortgage
Eisen.
It.
That's
what
I've been saying.
The kid pissed you off talking about your BFFs last year not being right for him. And he's
fire the fan
you're
base.
Not a fan anymore. You're not a fan anymore. Fine. Maybe the Colts will take him off your hands when you beat them to the punch and they are left empty-handed. You're the one with Anthony Richardson. You're the one who makes this change. You're the one that can start Bailey Zappe this year. You love him so much, start him. You think both Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe can have some time this year? Start him. Go ahead and start him. And tell the Patriots fan base, I got the future for you. And I'm going to win it before I leave him for the next guy. I just don't know if they've got that play in them. Because to come all the way up from 14 to 3 will be very expensive.
Very expensive.
But what a non-Patriot way to go out.
That would be
over the next few years.
I would be incorrigible.
Would you be excited for that or what?
To draft Anthony Richardson?
Yeah. To move all the way up.
1,000%.
I just don't know if this is the planet that happens on.
An inspiring move, which is what I've been talking about.
And that's y'all chicken.
That's it. Well done. Perfect way to end this. Exclamation point. Take care, y'all chicken. We're back to set up hour number 3. Ray Romano in studio right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show. Back here on our program. Oh, baby. Noble is a training brand for people who work hard and don't believe in excuses. Noble's performance footwear, apparel, and accessories are worn by some of the fittest athletes on earth and is now the official combine training partner of the NFL and the official on-field supplier of apparel and headwear for the NFL scouting combine. Go to www.nobleproject.com/NFL, please. That's where you can see Noble has forever changed the NFL combine. You can also shop football training essentials and more gear for your day-to-day workouts. And, of course, stay tuned here to The Rich Eisen Show and keep your eyes on our Twitter and YouTube channel feeds, because we're going to host a new segment sponsored by Noble called From the Combine to the Draft. I'm going to profile a few players' journeys from the physical and mental tests of the NFL combine as we get right ready for the thrilling moment when the picks are announced in Kansas City during the draft. So it's our Twitter feed at Rich Eisen Show on youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show from the Combine of the Draft, sponsored by Noble. Again, I found that because Noble presented the NFL Network Combine coverage.
Correct.
And I just found it funny that one of the two, and now they're sponsoring our Combine of the Draft coverage. Combine of the Draft, without a doubt, the most lying liar events in all of the NFL, it's called No Bull. When there's bull everywhere. It's just different degrees of bull you have to figure out. You got to wade yourself through the bull.
No bull.
I wish it was no bull. Although, I want the Panthers to keep me guessing. Please. And right now, guys, we are 16 days away. And we still don't know. We have no idea. None.
Keep it under locks.
Not a clue.
Zero.
I don't want to know.
I do not want to know.
You don't want to know, right? So many people do. I don't want to know. Right?
Keep it under wraps. Like, what was the year? Remember back in the day they used to,
like you'd almost
we signed the guy on Tuesday. Yeah. It was like the draft was
on because
Saturday.
It was the first overall pick and you had to sign them. You understand? Like you had to sign them. They could hold out on you.
Well, that was before the wage scale and
yeah,
all that.
And they could hold out on you. And you're they're negotiating the richest contract in the history of the sport, if not your franchise. And they hadn't played a single down yet.
Yep.
And they and some teams were like, if you don't sign, we're not going to make you first overall. I mean, that's the way this used to go. Mm-hmm. So signing the guy, getting it wrapped up was important because if you didn't, suddenly you make them the first overall pick and they're like, well, I'm not showing up. Remember that? Those days,
Eli.
I'm not
going
to Tampa Bay.
The Eli one was crazy. I remember
I'm going to go play baseball.
Eli told him, don't draft me. I mean, the photograph of Eli on draft night.
It's like,
the photograph of Eli
holding up the Chargers
on
jersey.
Draft night where he looked patently miserable.
Awful.
He looked
on what should be the greatest day of his life.
He's like,
you know?
This sucks.
Miserable. Yeah, because they told the Chargers, don't do it. And the Chargers did it. And we spent, I remember that.
That's crazy.
This was the 04 draft.
He doesn't look too bad.
Because he's a nice guy. Nice kid. And maybe deep down he knew that Philip Rivers, if he doesn't get picked before the Giants, this trade was going to be struck.
And one with the family.
But they ran a risk. They ran a risk. They ran a risk. And I just remember we were on the air on NFL Network. This was the first draft we covered. Think, we covered the 04 and 05 drafts from Los Angeles.
That's right.
The 04 draft, I think we just did the first round just to see if Mayock was right that Aaron Rodgers would last all the way to the 24th overall pick. And he did. And I remember we were just talking about it like they told him not for a good hour. He was a Charger and then all of a sudden the trade hit. And could you imagine if somebody swept in and took Phillip Rivers instead? What the hell would have happened?
Oof. I would have been a Charger.
And that's kind of like an NBA draft type moment. Normally, just make the trade. You choose him. But instead, the Chargers took, like, when was the last time? I don't think anything like that's happened since.
Well, didn't Michael Vick and LaDainian Tomlinson something very similar, right? Didn't the Chargers take Vick?
This was back in the day.
Yeah.
Could you imagine somebody does that now?
Yeah.
Like Bryce Young gets drafted by the Texans.
Right.
And then all of a sudden,
they announce a trade.
Somebody chooses Will Levis later on, and then they announce a trade like it's the NBA draft. That just doesn't happen in the NFL.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Ray Romano in studio, hour three, coming up on this show. And now Eli Manning today in 2023 is nominated for his second consecutive emerging talent.
Peyton and him.
How long? What's the?
Oh wait, hold on.
Time limit for you to emerge.
Emerging talent.
You have to be out of the game for 5 years to get into the Hall of Fame. How many years can you be emerging?
At least four.
It's a great question.
What's the rules here on the sports
like
for emerging talent?
Year.
By the way, a phenomenal emerging talent list: Andrea Carter, who does NBA for ESPN, RG3. Eli Manning, Greg Olson, and J.J. Redick.
Wow.
That's a phenomenal category.
That's a great category.
But Eli's the only, he's like the old guard.
Like two-time emerging.
He's a two-time emerging.
I wonder if it's...
Well, he's emerged.
No.
I was going to say, is it under 40? But Eli's over 40, right?
Yeah. What are the rules?
It's because he dressed up like the guy when he went and tried out.
Yeah, he tried out for Penn State again. He's emerging.
That's how he got it.
Did they nominate... His fake draft character?
Yeah.
Is that who it was?
What was the name?
I don't know. Some of these categories are stacked.
It's nuts.
It's going to be fun.
But how many years can you be? We should get Eli on to ask. Like, when are you? Like, I think he's emerged.
When did you finally emerge?
He's emerged.
You have.
I think he's emerged.
How many years can you keep sneaking in as an emerging talent?
I think he's emerged.
He's emerged.
He's emerged.
Peyton got nominated for Best Studio Analyst.
Event Analyst.
Event Analyst. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
I mean,
unreal. He's emerged too.
Conspiracy theories, paranormal, UFOs.
In the 1960s, the United States and the Soviet Union started developing directed energy microwave devices. And even to this day, the United States government is still continuing its research into high-power microwaves. It is nothing compared to what China is doing.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.